As we get set to usher in the month of November, we thought it would be a very good time to bring you another NHL/Action Network collab. Nick Alberga and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Pete? How are you, buddy?
Hey, Nick. Great to catch up with you again. And of course, this is about 3 weeks into the season, so we have some actual trends to digest. A lot of surprises across the league, so curious to hear all the betting input on that end.
Oh, yeah, and I teed up our good friend, our buddy, our pal from the Action Network, the Line Change Pod. It's Michael Liebov. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, man. I'm heading to the Islander Red Wing game later tonight, so I'm pretty pumped to go boo Alex DeBrincat, the former future New York Islander.
Give me a break, Liebov. But how we feeling, man? Like, it's November. I don't know how to feel about the betting landscape in the NHL early on. It's been a wacky start, man.
Yeah, I think now we start to have an idea of how we want to profile teams, at least for this next stretch. We've seen some pretty, like Pete said, some surprising teams, both good and bad. I think we always see the one or two of like the off-season darlings stumble out of the gates, and two of those were Buffalo and Pittsburgh. And I don't think that should be too surprising to people in the betting market. I spoke to someone who's a professional bettor right before the season, and he's like, I'm going to be against the Sabres right out of the gates, because usually that off-season hype just puts value going the other way, and it turns out he was right. But he never mentioned anything about the Penguins, and that was a team that I was kind of on an island about. I thought that what they did was they just added to strengths without really addressing their weaknesses, and that has shown a little bit here too. They're still inconsistent in a team that, like, I don't know why you would ever lay these big numbers with Pittsburgh. I mean, Monday night they're a huge favorite against the Ducks. Like, how are you comfortable laying these kind of prices with a team that has just been helter skelter again? We saw a whole season of it last year, and now we're seeing more of it this year.
And for every win against the Avalanche in shutout fashion, there is a loss to the Blackhawks on opening night and some other questionable results in between. And crazy, right, that Tristan Jarry is back healthy, has two shutouts, tied for the NHL lead, but still barely only has a .900 save percentage. He's at like .901. So, yeah, disappointing so far for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you mentioned the Red Wings. I mean, this is a team, to me, that I kind of overlooked this offseason, but now has to be scattered, at least in the awards conversations, the make-miss playoff conversation, maybe even the goal-scoring crown, if we're talking about Alex DeBrincat leading the NHL in goals right now.
Yeah, I think the best way to play them, if you are trying to, would be on Derek Lalonde in the Jack Adams Award. Whether DeBrincat keeps this up or not remains to be seen. He was shooting like 38% the last time I looked, and he's a great finisher, and I think everybody expected him to bounce back a little bit. But if he's shooting 40%, he's going to be an all-time season here. And with the interesting thing about the make-miss market with the Red Wings was they started the season 5-1, and the number didn't even budge. So the market was kind of telling you, like, well, we want them to prove it a little bit further. They've lost a few games in a row now. I do think that one interesting thing about them is they've probably shown that they're a little bit closer to a team like Buffalo than I think people gave them credit for. Like, the Sabres were, you know, the preseason darling in the Atlantic Division, then the Senators, and then the Red Wings were, like you said, Pete, like a forgotten commodity. And I think Detroit has shown that they're maybe on par with a team like Buffalo and could be built to sustain an 82-game season better than the Sabres, who, yeah, they've got tons and tons of dynamic talent on their team, but they've already played three goalies, and everyone got excited when Eric Comrie pitched a shutout, then now he's out, and now here comes UPL. He played really well, but we've already seen these guys, so this kind of cycle seems... I would be a little worried if I was a Sabres fan, much more worried than Ottawa or Detroit at this point.
Lather, rinse, repeat, boys. The Atlantic Division is the same division. Here comes Boston 7-0-1. Jonas Johansson, doesn't matter. I love your look at John Cooper to win the Jack Adams. They're right in the conversation. Leafs off to a hot start. Florida's getting healthier. It's the same convo. Like, ultimately, Liebov, I think it's one of those three teams that are going to get into the playoffs: Detroit, Ottawa, or Buffalo.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that Cooper point is well taken. Like, every time I come on the show, I bang home the drum that you want to find the coach with the best story, and that's why we liked Andre Tourigny so much in the offseason. But Cooper, like, his story now with Vasilevsky out and for a few more weeks is really compelling. He's never won the Jack Adams. He's the longest tenured coach in the NHL. He's presided over a dynasty or a mini dynasty in Tampa. So if he does get this team to a playoff spot and a good record, and they're not like just squeaking in. He's definitely got a chance to be one of the favorites at the end. And don't look now, but yeah, Vasilevskiy's practicing, and their upcoming schedule is very soft. So this Lightning team could go on a bit of a run here, and I wouldn't be surprised if by Thanksgiving Cooper's one of the favorites to win this award. The reason we love betting the Jack Adams Award market so much is that bookmakers aren't really paying attention to it. It's a very niche market and a niche sport when it comes to betting. Like, Rod Brendamore is still the favorite to win the award.
Crazy.
And the Canes have been not good out of the gates. So they're not really moving these numbers as they're not paying attention to it like folks like we are.
When you're looking at the Coach of the Year market and you look at the off-season moves in terms of coaching changes, like, who's caught your eye so far? Is it the Ducks coach, Cronin? Just in terms of keeping them relevant, as of record time, 3 straight road wins. The offense is fire. It's flying together right now, Anaheim. It's been fun to watch guys like Vetrano, Ryan Strom. I was checking, tied for the NHL lead in even strength points, so jump on him. Low-key in the props market, and the Ducks have been a big surprise as well.
Yeah, I really like this Ducks team. You guys know just from talking to me the past couple seasons how much I was in on the Coyotes as big underdogs, especially last season, and I think the Ducks are now the new Coyotes, where they have so much high-level talent at the front end of their roster that if they're on and their game is going, they're going to give any team trouble. Like, they can score 3 or 4 quickly. We saw that against the Bruins the other night, and the goaltending looks good. I like Lucas Dostal a lot. Yep. The defense is improved, I think, and the veteran depth that they added, like, they're not getting caved in the bottom 6 minutes anymore, and that's really important when you're betting these big underdogs. So the market, I don't think, has caught up on Anaheim yet. They're big dog in Pittsburgh on Monday night. I'm probably going to be on Anaheim for that one. That's a team that I like the value on in Anaheim, and a team that I don't like the way the market's perceiving them in Pittsburgh. So this Ducks team, man, I think you can just keep playing them when they're big underdogs, and they'll pay off. And I know it sounds easy to say now that they've won a few in a row, but they were +160 against the backup goalie in Philadelphia. I mean, that's a big number. So yeah, this Ducks team is one to keep in your pocket.
Yeah, value across the board, and I've had a lot of success early on betting on the Anaheim Ducks when I shouldn't be betting on them. And you know, along those lines, is there other teams that you sort of handicapped and said, well, there's a lot of value, I can't stay away from them right now?
Yeah, so the Ducks are definitely at the top of that list. There's a few sneaky ones, I think, on the other end, like sell high teams, like the Knights to me, 8-0-1. Gotta tip your cap to them, but a very soft schedule out of the gates. With the Kraken, a couple games against the Sharks and the Ducks, 2 against the Blackhawks. So Vegas is off and running, but they're not really tilting the ice all that much. They're not dominating their opponents. They're winning the big moments in the games, and their goaltending has been top notch. I think they're 3rd in the NHL right now in save percentage. Logan Thompson has been brilliant, but they're not going to keep getting by in these close games. We saw that the other night against the Blackhawks, and they're still being priced, I think, a little too high. It's never a bad idea to sell high on defending champions in any sport. So Vegas is definitely a team that I'm looking to continue to play against. I already mentioned the Penguins as well. And I think the Canucks, like, you're not going to get the huge numbers like you will with Pittsburgh and Vegas that you will with Vancouver, but they are getting by, and they're improved. I will definitely say that, but the goaltending has been great. They're not generally tilting the ice like a team that should be with a 4-2-2 record. So Vancouver as a big favorite, I think, is a team that you're going to want to go against as well.
It's funny too, like, last time we talked in the preseason betting preview for NHL Fantasy on Ice, we were talking about how Connor Bedard and how he's the runaway favorite for the Calder and stuff like that. It feels like the Calder gap has closed, but the Blackhawks as a team, if you're betting them game by game, have actually surprised me with some of the wins they've had this season on the road in particular as underdogs, right? At Pitt opening night, at Toronto in the matchup with Matthews, and at Vegas the other day to end the Golden Knights' illustrious winning streak. What have you made of the Bedard ripple effect on the team and how it translates to the betting market, even if you're fading Bedard in points and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it in that summary, that he's made the team so much better without putting up eye-popping numbers, that they're flying under the radar a bit in these spots. Like, they're a respectable group right now. The bottom six is much better than it's been in years past. I know Taylor Hall's been in and out of the lineup, but he makes a difference, giving them a legitimate top line, or at least a 1-2 punch with Bedard. I've liked the way that the defense has looked relative to expectations. And Peter Mrazek, man, like, this guy is, he's on a team that's not expected to be good. He's a goalie that you definitely shouldn't be afraid of betting on when he's a big favorite, like when he was with the Leafs or the Hurricanes. It's the other way around, because he is a little erratic with his form, but he also can just do what he did to like the Penguins on opening night, or even the Penguins going back to last season down the stretch. Like, this guy has a really high ceiling. So the Blackhawks too, they definitely profile pretty well. We're not suggesting to bet on every like underdog or team that's kind of wallowing right now and towards the end of the table. Like, say, I think San Jose is almost unbettable with the way they're starting. But teams like Chicago and Anaheim are definitely punching up pretty well.
Man, the Sharks are a tough watch. I won't lie. They're 0-8-1 through the first 9 games. I'd probably stay away at all costs. It's there's going to be too much juice on the opponent too, no?
Yeah, I think the one way, and my co-host on Line Change, Nick Martin, kind of put me onto this last season with some teams that generally just get absolutely shelled in terms of shots on goal every night, is you can bet goaltender alternate totals, like in terms of like their saves. So you can get Mackenzie Blackwood on like a night-to-night basis to go over 45 saves, and you get a really big number on that. So that's like the only reason I'd get involved with the Sharks.
Yeah, I was just going to add too, like, I love my shot props, as you guys know, and the team that surrenders the most shots on goal in the league is the San Jose Sharks. So there's a couple ways you can attack that: the opponent, the shots on goal, and also Blackwood saves, right? Like, I think the number is around 31, 32 a game, but I'm inclined to take the over more times than not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you should. With teams like San Jose, like, just because we're saying they're unbettable, like, that means that there will be other ways to attack them. And I think bookmakers generally are onto shot props quicker than they are to the saves, because they think bad team will let up a lot of goals. Save prop should be at, you know, 30.5, when we're thinking save prop should probably be higher than that, because that means they're going to give up a lot of shots. And
exactly.
And Blackwood's had some really good performances.
Mike, one team I don't want to let off the hook if we're talking about surprises and or disappointments, the Edmonton Oilers. They beat the Flames in the Heritage Classic, only to pull even with them for the second fewest points in the NHL right now. It's pretty brutal, man. Their PDO is low, so maybe a little buy-low window if you want to talk about them as a cup contender. But frankly, as somebody who picked them, I have not seen very much. And it's good to see McDavid back. They're going to need him to have any shot in heck, right? But this is a disappointing team, to say the least, in the Oilers so far.
Yeah, and I mean, all of us, everybody I think that's in hockey and fans, that we all kind of fell for it again with this team. Maybe we just need to admit that they take some time to get going, and they have some kinks to work out. The difference between Edmonton and Calgary is that, like you said, Pete, I think there is some serious runway for this Oilers team just to get red hot and even run away with like the President's Trophy or something crazy like that. We know that they are that good if they can just get the saves. Whereas Calgary, man, like, they were a minus 180, 185 favorite against the Blues at home the other night. That number's crazy to me. Like, we've already seen this movie with Calgary before. Even if they are tilting the ice, like, they're just never going to score enough to justify those kind of numbers. Like, I think at this point, when you see those big numbers on Calgary, maybe except for when they play a team like San Jose, is they're just a bet against team until they can prove otherwise, because a lot of bettors who believe in just pounding home the expected goals numbers or ice tilt numbers will just not give this team the reverse credit that they just can't finish. And when you do that, you put a ton of pressure on the goalies, and the goalies haven't been there yet either. So this Calgary team is still getting too much market respect in my eyes, and one that I'll continue to go against.
They're a disaster, boys. I mean, let's call a spade early on. But do you have any, like, go-to bets? Like, I know bettors and people listening want to know of, like, go-to bets or trends you've noticed, like overs and unders. Like, typically I like to trend towards the over in October, but it's been a mixed bag. Like, you look at a team like St. Louis, who traditionally the last couple of years has scored a lot of goals, Binnington's standing on his head, and they're playing to the under quite a bit. Anything else you've noticed?
Yeah, I think that that's a good one just to highlight, because the question is, do you believe that Binnington is going to be able to keep this up? If you don't, and I think most people probably err that way, they should play as an over team. Like, this team is likely to struggle a bit defensively. We saw them last year play very erratic games. They have scoring talent, so they can do their part when you're betting over 6.5s and over 7s. But it's just going to come down to if you believe Binnington is going to come back to earth. And I think that one other team I'm keeping an eye on here is Montreal. Give them a ton of credit for being scrappy, especially as an underdog, but they laid -135, I believe, against the Blue Jackets the other night, and they did win that game, but that number seems a little nuts to me. Like, this team is give, like I said, give them credit, they're scrappy, but that if that's your best attribute and that's what we're going to, sure, that makes you decent as an underdog, but when you can't, I don't think you're really going to be able to justify that kind of number on a team that was pegged to be scrapping towards the lottery and not contending in the Atlantic, which if the season ended today, they are.
Mike, I know you're talking about the Habs. Let's switch to the Leafs. If you're looking at early storylines that maybe could stick, what about Joseph Woll for the Calder Trophy? He's kind of entered the chat since we last talked. Not only, you know, taken over in a way for Ilya Samsonov based on production and efficiency, but I feel like even in our fantasy rankings this week, he's like the number two or number three ranked rookie behind Bedard and Logan Cooley. Your thoughts on him so far?
Yeah, the numbers have been really good. And there were a couple people who whispered about him in that market before the season started. Because so many people were talking about Devon Levi and being like, well, if you like Levi, why don't you also like Woll, who's going to be on a better team? And the one thing that does concern me about him is if you look at his numbers, which are fabulous, he's bailing his defense out. Like, the defensive numbers for the Leafs just haven't been good. Much better against Dallas the other night and a little bit better against Nashville as well. But if you're asking a rookie goaltender, even one who's got some experience to bail a defense out like that on a nightly basis, it's likely going to catch up to him, whether it's just down the line in the dog days of February or sooner than that. But I do think that just the Calder race is more wide open than we thought it would be at this point. So I think it's not a bad market to shop around on and maybe find a guy to try to beat Bedard with.
Yeah, it's very early. I mean, obviously, I live here in Toronto. People are talking about, like, ridiculous stuff, like the Vezina Trophy. And it's like, come on. I will say, like, I think November, traditionally, the last couple of years, has been the month to bet on the Toronto Maple Leafs. They always have ridiculous numbers in the month of November, so something to monitor moving forward the next couple of weeks. But I think this is not the last we've heard of Ilya Samsonov. They need both in that tandem. Is there anything specific you're looking at this week? A couple of revenge looks I'm looking at. The Rangers-Winnipeg game, Blake Wheeler's return. He's still got bagels across the board looking for him to do something. Got Erik Karlsson returning to San Jose as well later on this week.
Yeah, so I we'll start on Monday. I like the Ducks in that spot against the Penguins. I think that the Blackhawks are also a little interesting. I know I rarely bet against the Coyotes, but they're -190. That's a little nuts, I would say. Definitely, if you're going to bet anything in that game, I think you're betting on the Blackhawks. And I like the Wednesday night matchup too with the Flyers and Sabres. I think when you look at these two teams, the Flyers are doing all the things you want to see out of a team that it should be ascending at some point, where the Sabres are kind of going the other way. They're having some impressive performances, and then they're having some really dreadful ones. And we wanted to see like a step forward defensively and in goal, and we just haven't. Whereas the Flyers, we wanted to see a step forward offensively, and Carter Hart's been awesome in goal. So the Flyers, to me, at least at this very moment, are just a better bet with the way they're going to be priced than the Sabres will be. And also, I think we do need to give a little bit of credit to the Blues, too. They've been better than I thought. I thought this team was going to be a mess. And they've been better, and I think could be a sneaky spot against Colorado with the Avalanche returning from that long road trip these next couple of days. So Blues against the Avalanche, I mentioned those two games on Monday. as well. And then it probably will fade the Oilers in their first game after that Heritage Classic, because everybody's saying like they're back. Like it's been one game. So I think they don't play again till Thursday night against a really tough Stars team. So we'll see how that one's priced. But I'll be looking to go against Edmonton, at least in the immediate term.
And when you're looking at overs and unders, especially overs, with how the league has been built for speed and stuff like that and high scoring games in recent years compared to the previous decade. I mean, like on Saturday, I was looking at Ducks Flyers and I was like, this is almost definitely going to hit the over tonight. And it did. It was 7-4. So, right. Like, don't always look at those sexy big name teams like Maple Leafs or Stars, Oilers, right? You never know. Like, you could see a lockdown game when we have the Stars play the Oilers this upcoming week, and you could see maybe Edmonton make a statement there, but it won't necessarily be a crazy topsy-turvy high-scoring game.
Yeah, and that game too, with the Flyers and Ducks, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a diehard NHL fan, so you'll have a decent idea of when those backup goaltending starts are going to come, even if it's not on a back-to-back. And that start for Ersson was pretty tailor-made, right? Like, it's an afternoon game. Hart had just played against the Wild the other night. They're trying to limit his load, so he's fresh for the whole season. They've already said that. And if you're paying attention to that kind of stuff, you might be wrong every now and then. I was wrong a couple times trying to take on Jonathan Quick with the Rangers, and he ended up not starting, and some other spots as well. But if you do have that rhythm down, those are games that you should target the total, and because it's going to move. Like, at the very worst, you're going to get some good closing line value when a goaltending switch is made, because those situations aren't baked into the opening line.
So you always have fantastic takes. Has anything changed from like the first month in the preseason in terms of futures or look at the Norris or like anything?
Yeah, a couple teams, like, I hate to admit it, but the Rangers' defensive play makes them pretty interesting right now.
Panarin's been great.
Yeah, everybody on that team is playing, like, taking a step forward, and the team as a whole has as well. And we'll see if they'll be able to keep it up. Like, it's a long season, etc. But they might be a little underpriced, and still, like, it does seem like the market is slowly catching on to them. But I definitely underestimated how quickly they'd be able to adjust to a new system. I think that I was a little low on Detroit, just like Pete was saying before. They're a team that should be pesky at the very least. And then out west, like, the Avalanche to me I think should be the Stanley Cup favorite. Yes. With a month of play, like, in all of our pockets, they look really, really strong, and they're coming off a couple losses, but when you look at their full body of work so far this season, the goaltending they're getting, it's pretty hard to poke holes in them the way you can poke holes into the other favorites. So I would switch that. Like, going into the year, I thought the Oilers should have been the favorite with the Ducks, with the Devils behind them, and now I'm thinking it's the Avalanche as a consensus, like, clear number one.
One other surprise team, Mike, that we were talking about on the Fantasy Waiver Wire Pickup show earlier today. Go and listen to that if you haven't already. Just a reminder there. But I'm kind of warming up to the Florida Panthers as being a playoff team once again. And I like their number around plus 140 at the Boston Bruins. The Bruins are going to be having revenge on their mind after what happened in the postseason last year, but they're not as equipped. And if Florida starts getting some of these guys back, like Montour, Ekblad, Bennett, right, not necessarily all Monday, but I feel like they're flying under the radar right now in all kinds of futures markets.
Them and the team directly behind them in the Atlantic, the Senators, are weirdly kind of flying under the radar a bit because there's been a lot of smoke around the team, and the numbers don't look great in terms of, like, their actual results, but if you dig a little deeper, they're pretty good. They just haven't gotten saves. And I think with the Panthers, it's almost the opposite. Like, Tkachuk, took a while for him to get on the score sheet. They're dealing with the injuries, and this Bruins spot is a good one, Pete. I think that's one to definitely have circled for Monday night, because the Bruins have, like, a .947 save percentage right now, or something ridiculous like that. And we saw them have a wonderful season from their goalies in last year, like, but they finished .929, and that was backing up a historically good team. So that number should come down as the season goes on. And I think that Boston will, you know, they've proven us wrong time and again in this when we say stuff like this, but they should come back down to earth at least a little bit. And when you're getting numbers like that on good teams like Florida, it's definitely not a bad idea.
The key word, of course, sure. And you always bring the heat, my man. What's going on in line change these days?
Nothing. We did add a another day, so we're actually Tuesday, great, Wednesday, and Thursday. Nice. You can hear myself, Nick Martin, and most days also Tim Kalinowski. Yeah, we're off and running and enjoying what we've seen so far. It does seem like it's turning a little bit into a an Anaheim Ducks and Arizona Coyotes podcast, but I
love fest.
Promise you we talk about the other teams quite a bit as well.
Ducks fly together. I love that. Great stuff today, Leboff.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Many thanks to everybody involved in this process. Of course, the betting landscape should be a bit different, I would say, in the month of November. Make sure to check out the waiver wire edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice on Monday. We got the mailbag edition coming up on Thursday, and we'll touch base down the road this season to see what's going on in the betting world. Many thanks to producer Bob Bender, for Pete Jensen and Michael Leboff. I'm Nick Elberga. You've been listening to another NHL and Action Network collaboration. We'll talk next time. Take care.